Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness with me, Simon Parks. Today is the 15th, but this is going out on the 17th, so we're recording it. So hopefully there won't be too many interesting events between now and the 17th. As you can see, the white cat has positioned himself, and no, I don't run around 5 minutes before we go live and put cats everywhere. They just seem to know. So the white cat is there very quietly having a sleep, and no doubt there'll be a changing of the guard. One will jump down and one will take his place. So what I want to do is to do our usual look at the world and then see what major issues there are. Didn't hit the news quite as much as it has done in the past, but the Bilderbergers, of course, were a meeting in Italy. And I honestly thought that Henry Kissinger was dead. It's amazing. I mean, if only everyone could live like that in terms of their age. So Henry Kissinger was chairing the meeting, and there were a number of topics apparently on the header. And one of them was the, it was about losing control of the world, the humanity on that. And that was a very interesting topic. And for the first time, to my knowledge, the Vatican had sent a representative. I don't know the person's name, but I understand it was a cardinal. And because it was about the humanity, the control, the rebellion against the elite, the Vatican had been asked to send a representative to give their point of view. So that's very, very interesting, because usually the Bilderberger group will just talk about profits and money and this company and that company and what pressures they're going to put on their politicians and, you know, move stuff around. But this time it was very much, we have a serious issue which will impact on our money. How are we going to deal with this? So that's very heartening that the situation has got to such a point now that the Vatican's been pulled in and they're having a debate. The other point really I want to talk about was obviously the situation in America. Generally, in America and Britain during the summer holidays, that's August, the political system closes down so that people can go and have their vacations. But interestingly, this time, the White House has authorized a skeleton staff working through the holiday period. And that's because some of these key judges are going to be sworn in during the month of August, or at least get into position in August. These are federal judges. These are the top judges. People have been asking, well, why doesn't Trump open these 30-odd thousand indictments? And this is what he's waiting for, I believe. He's waiting to have the top judges in position, because once that starts, then clearly there'll be lots of challenges on the legal front. More people have been recruited to sift through paperwork. More people have been recruited to advise on civilian law. Remember that some of these courts may operate in a semi-military fashion, and so they're going to have to swing between the civil side and the military side. And so a lot of civilian professional lawyers are going to have to be drafted in to give balance to what cannot just be a purely military setting. So that's, again, is very heartening that people are being recruited for that post. We often talk about the European Union and how Great Britain sort of voted to leave, had the Brit exit, and how it's a bit of touch and go with Italy, to a lesser extent with France and Greece. And in a conversation with the Italian president, I've had two versions given to me. But in terms of the president of Italy, who was saying to, to President Trump, I think that we'll have a real problem with China, because China is going to be dominating the world, obviously, in the next sort of 15 or so months. And Trump turned around, and I had two versions. One version is, well, Europe is worse than China. And the other version I've got was, Europe is more evil than China. And this was in relation to trade wars. Don't for 1 minute think that President Trump is producing a trade war with Europe because he just wants to defend American interests. And he's actually doing it because he wants to attack the cabal, who are very heavily dug in many countries in Europe. And of course, that's going to really hurt their profits. And so this is why certain people have been saying to Trump, look, you know, let's all make friends and let's have the Chinese as our number one enemy. Trump's not going down that road. And that's quite interesting. We'll go on now with China, but we'll move slowly to Korea because Korea and China are very closely linked. And on my website, I said that, you know, when Trump had met the leader of the North and they'd reached some form of agreement, that wasn't a huge surprise to me. If you look back to some of the other radio shows or posts on my website, in November of last year, I was basically saying that this is where we would get to. And it's worth quickly looking at this. The established media were totally back-footed because they weren't receiving any information from the president. Trump was deliberately not feeding them information. Had it been Obama or Clinton, of course, the media would have been sitting around the day before and been told the stories and working it all out. But Trump's not like that. That's why he uses Twitter, because he likes to circumvent the established media. And so when large numbers of foreign troops, Chinese troops, were placed along the border with North Korea, then the established media suddenly thought that this was because there was going to be a war between South Korea with American support and North Korea, and the Chinese troops were going to come in and fight with the North against America. And that was the line they were running. And as usual, that made it through to the internet and social media, and that was the story. And I'd actually put out in late November that there's nothing to do with that whatsoever. The Chinese troops were there to prevent the leadership of the North escaping because China had finally had enough of Korea and had agreed with America that America could attack the North. That wasn't in any of the news, but that's exactly what happened. And that's what brought the leader of the North to the negotiation table, because the Chinese had finally turned around and said, we're not having any more to do with you. America is going to attack you. And in fact, I did put on my website that Trump had given the authorization to his military to attack. And that was made known. And that's why we have this situation where the first stage of a signing of a denuclearization is taking place. And it should be no surprise to anyone. Well, it's a surprise to those who read the major newspapers. But for those who've been listening to the alternative news, and particularly looking at the website and listening to these regular updates, it shouldn't be too much of a surprise. There was never going to be a Third World War. It's not going to happen. It's not doom and gloom. This is something that could potentially end up with President Trump being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, wouldn't that be interesting? People like Clinton, Obama, all those presidents who never got any sort of agreement between North Korea, South Korea, and the world. And it looks, we can't be 100%, but it looks like Trump might have pulled this off. Now, if he has, he will be considered for the Nobel Peace Prize. All the people that hate Trump for a political point of view, I don't mind people having a problem on, you know, his personal side, but from the political standpoint and the way he's conducted America has been actually pretty good. So that's wanted to talk about that. The other thing I want to talk about is all this business going on with Tommy Robinson. A number of people have messaged me asking me what my stance is, what do I think. Other people are, you know, coming out in favor of Tommy Robinson. A number of fairly high-profile members in the alternative media doing that. And they're doing it because they see that Tommy Robinson is exposing paedophilia. That's true, but there are certain points I want to make. First of all, the paedophilia that Tommy Robinson is exposing or trying to expose is not cabalistic controlled. It's not the elite. It's not the Freemasons. It's not the satanic. It was a group of Muslim people doing what happens all over the world, regardless of the race of that group. There are people that do it that are not part of a huge syndicate. They may be part of a group or an organization, but they're not trafficking people all over the world using corporations well-known names. Now that's the one point. But the second point is that people are jumping on this bandwagon and not actually looking at the man. So I want to tell you a little bit about Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson has several names. Usually when you're running away from the police, you tend to have lots of different names. He wasn't born Tommy Robinson. He was born Stephen Christopher Yaxley Lennon. He also has another name, which was Andrew McMaster, and another name, which is Paul Harris. In 2005, I'll just call him Tommy Robinson, but that's not the name he appears on in court. In court, he's called by his real name, but we'll call him Tommy Robinson. 2005, he attacked his girlfriend. He punched and kicked her, violently assaulted her, and her name was Jenna Vowles. It was such a vicious attack that neighbours call the police. The first police officer on the scene tried to get between Tommy Robinson and Jenna, and he was punched and kicked by Tommy Robinson. He was finally arrested and charged and sentenced to 12 months in prison for assaulting his girlfriend and 3 months for assaulting a police officer. So that's the first thing. This man beats females. So before you stand and start supporting him, I want you to think very, very carefully about that. And this is all in the public domain. You can go and find this. It's regularly there. Did you know that Tommy Robinson was also a member of the British National Party, which is, for those of you who don't know, that's a far-right extremist party. He was also a member of the football hooligan of Luton Town Football Club. He's known by many police forces in this country, Great Britain, and on the continent and in Europe. Europol apparently was also aware of him. Europol is the replacement to Interpol. He founded the English Defence League, the EDL. And this is again another far-right extremist group. Now, whether we are bothered about his politics, whether he's incredibly communist and left-wing or incredibly right-wing and fascist, maybe that actually isn't important. And maybe the fact that he was trying to out paedophiles or alleged paedophiles, maybe that also isn't important in the sense that it doesn't matter whether it's a cabalistic or not. Maybe we just do it anyway because it's wrong. That I can all accept that. Okay. What I can't accept is the manner in which he did it. You don't stand on the court steps while the defendants and witnesses are going up the steps to go into court to testify, and you are trying to ask them questions about that case. That's called contempt of court. And that is why he went to prison, because he was acting in a way that could have jeopardized that court case. Even if you're not bothered about that, what you surely will be bothered about is the fact that he was punching and kicking his girlfriend. Because no matter how much a domestic argument may get into, we should never use physical violence against a female. Should never do it. Shouldn't use physical violence against a male in a domestic, but 99% of the time, I guess, it's the woman that gets beat up on. And so, regardless of whatever else he may have had, whatever high ideals he thought as he stood on the steps of the court and he was asking people, he did serve a 12-month prison sentence for physical assault. So I've sent a message to all my coordinators that we are not associating ourselves with Tommy Robinson. We don't want any part of that. We want no part of that sort of thing. I strongly suggest people who are interested in combating paedophilia, combating child trafficking. If you look on my website, you'll see a special section there which you can click on, which will take you to some wonderful videos created by Sasha Stone, who had some high-ranking whistleblowers and people with a great deal of legal expertise sit for a number of hours calling witnesses, and this is all on the Alternative media, the official media so far refusing to run with it. What a surprise. But there are some incredibly weighty individuals who've held very, very well high office who are giving testimonies. Now, this, I think, might well be something that, from British point of view, cracks the door open and begins to get justice for what's been going on. So rather than waste your time with a wife beater or a girlfriend hitter, why don't you check the website out, look at Sasha Stone's stuff, many hours of incredibly vital videos there, and get involved in that. So that's really wonderful to say on that. So with that, we shall ask Becky to start with the first question, please.
Okay, thanks. And just to say that Sasha's, the group that he's formed is the International Tribunal for Natural Justice, the ITNJ. And also Ronald Bernard, the ex-Illuminati banker, he's given a very moving testimony as well. So it's really well worth checking
out. Right, so did Sasha interview him then?
It was part of the people giving a testimony to the whole
right.
board.
So that's quite useful then, because I'd forgotten that, if I ever knew that one. So that's a level at which Sasha's been able to bring people over to testify. So if you have an interest in how the world elite control, and part of that satanic control is child trafficking, then spend a few hours listening to the videos over the next week or so. All right, thanks, Becky.
Okay, thanks. Right, the first question today is from Jens, who says... Dear Simon, first of all, I want to thank you for your dedicated work to end our enslavement. My question is, does the false tunnel of light still exist, or has it been destroyed, in brackets for lack of better words? Are humans still entrapped in the false light? Thank you and God bless you, Jens, from Germany.
Well, thank you, Jens. Thank you. The device, the concept of the false light is not human designed. So there isn't a cabalistic group on the planet who can throw a switch to turn it off. And when human consciousness increases enough to start to put these fraudsters on trial, it still won't be enough, because there isn't anybody here who controls that. There are two ways, so it's still operating. There are only two ways that this can be done. The first is from an external intervention, and the little I understand about it is that the devices that control this are off-planet. They're in the solar system, but I couldn't tell you exactly which planets or moons they're based on. And there are two off-planet groups who had an interest in taking it down, but frankly didn't have the technology at their level to do so, which implies that whoever put it up, and that's a long time ago, had quite a high tech level. So the only way this is going to happen is if a group or groups who've affiliated come together and decide that they are going to tackle this on head on and do it. But I've also been told that they're only going to do that when humanity shows that it's worthy. It's a problem here, because who is right to say, you know, I won't help you unless you're worthy? You know, you show me you're worthy and I'll help you. That's not unconditional love, is it? I think what they're saying is, if we release you from this trap, your development will skyrocket. And unless you are capable of managing and controlling your own affairs, we're not really happy to put you in a position where in 150, 200 years, you will have outstripped some of the lesser ET races technologically. So there's that debate to be had. The other debate is that when humankind naturally evolves into the fifth dimension, then we circumvent the trap anyway, because of the way that the planet is also evolving. So there are the two routes. So the answer is, unfortunately, it's still very much alive and still operating. Thank you for your question.
Okay, thanks. This next question is a series of questions. by Benjamin. I think, having read it through, I'll read it all out and then we'll take each one at a time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Benjamin says, I have a question about the event. Will every living creature and nature be upgraded? What will life be like for them, or will it be nothing like nothing has changed? As humans are meant to become telepathic...
Can I just take that first question,
because
I can't...
Okay.
It's very complicated. Mm-hmm. I do have some doubt here. I think only the Creator fully understands it, and the planet Earth. I've got some handle on it, but I don't think it's 100%. In fact, I'm sure it's not 100%. Humans have a consciousness in a way that no other animal on the planet does. There are some that come close, but humans have a consciousness that no other animal has. So it's humans are the animal of choice. They're the ones that matter in terms of the development and the choice of that. However, there are other animals and plants that operate within their own confines, and the more primitive the organism, the narrower its confines. But if it operates within the confines, one has to ask, does it have choice? Does a plant have choice? See, humans have a great deal of choice within the confines. The confines are wider. My cat sitting on the table, he has a choice, but is that choice completely controlled by nature or nurture? Is it his primitive instincts, or does he actually have free will? So my understanding is that humans will be the ones that move forward, but the world that they take with them will be the world that they exist in. So almost like a replica, a replication. So you can't just go from the world we have, the three-dimensional world, onto a world that's totally different. Because a fifth-dimensional being still has a physical world. You know, those people who truthfully have met the Palladians, we know that because they're fifth-dimensional. They're flesh and blood. You know, they fly a spacecraft that you can tap your hand against. They have home worlds which have rocks and vegetation, plant life. And so it is very, 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 it's solid, it's real, it's not an energy world. But having said that, there are a number of aliens that I've spoken to that don't have cats and dogs. They don't have pets. They have no concept of them. They absolutely have no concept of a cat, a dog, a horse. And they will often say, unless they've been schooled before they come here, what is the use of this creature? What does it do? We don't understand what it does. And when you say, well, you know, it's a companion, you know, I love it, and they just don't really understand that. So there are some worlds where there are no animals in the sense that we have an understanding of. So I think what will happen is that a group of people, and I couldn't tell you how many, are going to go to the fifth dimension, pass through the fourth quickly, through, and they will take with them what is their world. And when they arrive at where they're meant to arrive, they will replicate that world, but within a completely different energy setting. So there are those souls who have incarnated in whales, dolphins, lions, tigers, bears, horses. I see no reason why they can't also come through. Thank you for your question on that one.
Okay. So it says, are humans meant to become telepathic? Will it be easier to talk to nature and animals?
And that's a good way of a different way of looking at it. Even professional doctors, medical doctors, will tell you that they're still baffled as to why so much of the brain doesn't seem to do anything. They check the electric currents running through the brain, and they say, well, it doesn't do anything, it's dead. Anyone who believes in Charles Darwin thinks about the survival of the fittest. Why would a whole host of billions of people carry around in their heads something that doesn't do anything? How is that profitable for evolution? So what that tells us is that something has been switched off. What that tells us is that we are carrying around with us the second engine. So when the first engine is no longer capable of taking us up the mountain to the fifth dimension, we can switch on the second engine. We can activate that part of us that we have for thousands and thousands of years carried around and not done anything with it. Yes, it's not just telepathy. It will be telekinesis. It will be a whole range of things. We'll have our own personal internet. It'll be the death of the corporation that runs the internet. Because when you want to know how to make a nice cake, you won't have to go and find a recipe. You will actually be able to communicate with somebody who you know is good at making cakes, your own personal internet. That is the fantastic thing about being a human. And can't come soon enough, can it? Thank you. Next question.
Okay. This is, I guess you've answered this. Will we be able to talk to our pets? As I have a dog, I share a very close bond to him, and it would be great to have a chat. Or will it be more on a soul level of interaction?
Right, okay. I think people can already do that. I think you already have a soul connection with your animals, and you can talk to them. I think what the questioner is asking is a deeper understanding. I am not convinced that a cat or a dog that comes through with us would be able to be telepathic in transmission, but I am convinced it could receive messages. So you would be in one room and you could telepathically think of Fido, and Fido will come through, but Fido won't be able to send you a message saying, hurry up and feed me. Fido will still bark. Remember that in the fifth dimension, the vocal cords of Palladians are still active. Many people talk about the telepathic communications from Palladians or Arcturians or Andromedians, but for many of them the vocal cords are still there. In others the vocal cords have gone, but they've had millions of years being in the fifth dimension and not using the vocal cords. Now we go straight, relatively so, straight from the third through. In those that make it through, their vocal cords aren't going to wither away. They'll still be there. And when you have children, in many cases, the vocal cords will replicate. But over a period of time, when we stop using vocal communication, then they'll just naturally wither away. And that's the point about the brain. Why hasn't the areas of the brain just completely disappeared? It's that they are not active because they've been shut down. Now, when we make that transition, they are the very parts that will activate to give us those capabilities.
And will that be connected to activating parts of our DNA that is supposedly junk DNA?
Right. The term junk DNA was a term given because genuinely they didn't know what the heck to do with it. And B, they didn't want intelligent people looking at it through electron microscopes or doing mathematical understandings of it, because the fear was that they would then come up with an idea that actually junk DNA wasn't junk at all. That's the clever word, isn't it? Junk. But like junk food. It's literally about material that is waiting to connect. This is part of the connection. It's what we're waiting for. Yes, it is part of the reconnection. Connecting up your strands of DNA are the most important thing for evolution of the individual. And that junk DNA, as they call it, when that starts to reform, as it will do, and reconnect, then that is the bridge being built between the two sides of the river. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Mimi asks, well, she says, "Bonjour, Simon et merci. What do you think is the cause of the Mandela effect? Only a few percentage of the people notice the small differences. Is it the same percentage that the people who are awake? Do these people go to another dimension so they can note the differences?"
Right. I believe the Mandela effect is true. No, not all people who are awake and aware are capable of that, because it's a specific element of energy that occurs in a specific field. And only if you as an individual have come into contact with that through any time in your life, through your time stream, would you be awake to it. So just because you have no concept of that, you know about it, you've read about it, you've talked to people, but you've never experienced it yourself, that doesn't make you any less aware than anyone else, because there'll be things that you know and you understand that someone who's Mandela effect savvy hasn't a clue on. The Mandela effect could possibly be, and I haven't come to a conclusion on it, it could possibly be artificially created. Over the last few years, 40 years, humans playing around with back-engineered technology have made a number of holes in time and connected up time incorrectly, made it very difficult now in a standard primitive time travel device, made it very difficult to move through certain phases of time because of all the holes that have been created, which can, you know, you drop through one and you can come out somewhere else. So the Mandela effect could possibly be something that's unintentionally been created because of all these mistakes that have been occurring ever since the mid-40s when a form of time travel was hit upon through Tesla technology, or reinvented through Tesla technology. Now, the other possibility is, which the New Age particularly likes, is it's an evolving thing, you know, as people are ascending and evolving above other people, they are catching up. If you think of time as a figure of eight or an elliptical, then they're somehow picking up on that. That's also a possibility, but at the moment I'm favouring some form of mistake that's occurring. We've had some fun conversations around products of Tate and Lyle. I absolutely 100% remember as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old child being at my grandparents and taking down a tin of Tate and Lyle's syrup, a big green tin with the gold writing on it, about two or three different sides, very hard to prise the lid off. I can't see Tate and Lyle anywhere now. It doesn't say that. It says something completely different on the front. It doesn't say Tate and Lyle's golden syrup. And I've gone and looked on old videos, old adverts. I've looked at things in old cupboards, you know, storehouses and things like that. And it never says Tate and Lyle. So you would think on that, okay, well, I'm obviously wrong. I've got that wrong. But I don't believe I have. And there are so many other people that say, I'm absolutely convinced that Mandela died. I'm absolutely convinced of X, Y, and Z. And the reality is that if time is changed, it works not linearly, but in this figure of eight or in this elliptical, and it will actually recreate physical things. That's what's so hard to grasp. You know, if I have a tin that says Tate and Lyle in 1970, and I put it in a cupboard and I leave it there, and I come back today, I would expect it to say Tate and Lyle, but it won't. Because if I'm right, and if that's what's occurred, then the time has actually meant that that never happened. It never happened. It was never Tate and Lyle, it was something else. And so there are many, many Hollywood films that play on this going back in time and altering time. And that's why I think there's a real possibility that all them fooling around with projects, particularly in America, but not exclusively so, have affected time. So long answer, but it's an interesting and exciting one. Thank you.
I think it's now just Lyle's golden syrup or something.
Yeah, it just says Lyle's golden syrup.
Yeah,
and
Tate.
I'm absolutely convinced that it was Tate and Lyle.
Yeah.
But I can't find anything that says Tate and Lyle. It all says Lyle. But that's because it's been altered, whether it's a celluloid film, whether it's the physical reality, whether it's a photograph. The only thing that time can't change is your memory. Because if your DNA memory see something and you lock it on and you have that, the physical world around you changes, but you don't change with that time stream. You stay in your own time stream. But when you put your hand out of that time stream, that has been affected by the new the new time. And so that's what my feeling is, the way it's gone there. Now, it could be used as a weapon. It's not been weaponized because it's not controllable, really. It affects the whole world. It's a bit like AIDS. AIDS was a weapon and was designed, as we all know, to attack Africans, black people, but it made its way out of there and into Europe. So these people, these bad people, are learning that when you create something, it often comes back to bite you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Norman asks, on September the 6th, 2007, Israel executed a midnight airstrike on the Al-Kabar facility near Deir al-Zor in eastern Syria.
Hmm.
They claimed it was a nuclear reactor about to go live.
Mm-hmm.
Investigations came to the conclusion that this was not possible.
Hmm.
What was really in the building?
I agree. There wasn't a nuclear reactor there at all. They were using cover at the same time America was launching cruise missile attacks, and it was used as a cover. The Israelis, one arm of the Israelis, we should be quite accurate here, will use international tensions to launch an attack, and they hope doesn't make the media. The attack in that case was not a nuclear reactor, but was literally about some of the elements that were stored in there, which could have been a direct threat to Israel. I'm not standing up for anyone. I'm just saying the way they looked at it. They looked at the records that were kept there and some of the technologies that were being worked up and some of the individuals that were being held there could have been a threat to them. And so that's why they took it out. And confirmed that it wasn't a nuclear reactor. So, yes, there was some skullduggery going on.
Okay, thanks. Tobias says, hi, Simon. Would you be open for shows with a specialised topic? For example, you mentioned several times to explain techniques for psychic protection.
Mm.
Other ideas could include a show about meditation, Kundalini and the Merkaba. Please ask your audience if they would also like such a kind of topic bounded shows. Thank you for considering.
Thank you. I wouldn't do a Kundalini one because that can backfire and be quite dangerous. That's very Kabbalistic. This year we're going to have a very big meeting in London for the Connecting Consciousness Group in London, and indeed anyone in Britain or the world can come to that. And we'll be looking at boring stuff like processes, introducing new coordinators, the roles and how we're doing it. But also it's the establishment, which we started now, of a number of subgroups within Connecting Consciousness. And one of them is J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter's Defense Against the Dark Arts. I really love that. Psychic defense. And looking at a number of topics that we can actually teach, and that group can then teach itself if it wants to go to other groups, or it can work and meet on a regular basis. To place them out on the video for worldwide distribution wouldn't be helpful, because there are a certain number of rather bad people who would see the techniques being taught and would then put into place counter operation. That's how we are at the moment. I'm quite happy to talk to a group of people that I know within the Connecting Consciousness, and they can work with it. And of course, at some point, things leak out, and these bad people do pick it up. But I'm not going to make their life any easier. I certainly think the meditation one is really good, but there are a number of topics which we could do. But I actually think there are probably, in terms of meditation, there are probably people more suited than I, qualified in terms of academia, but qualified in terms of capabilities to meditate than I am. But there's no reason why I couldn't facilitate that, give it the airtime, and work with that. So I think that's a really good idea. And probably I'd look at the back end of this year, fall, autumn time, because then I think we'll have certain things in place, and we would have more time to study that and make that go. That's a great suggestion. I think I'll follow it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. John, who's an MD, asks, what are your thoughts on the Urantia book?
I know it was difficult when I get asked questions that seems to be such a hot topic with so many people, you know, those that are violently for it, violently against it, and those that are not. I'm going to be quite quick here and say that many things carry truth, but many of them don't, or at least they're mixed. And anything that's channeled, I do have an issue with. I always have an issue with channeling, unless I've met the channeler, the individual, and I personally then could be assured that, you know, that the control systems or the safety things were in place, that what was channeling was right. But so many times where I've had people talk to me about their channeled experiences, or they've written down books, when you look at some of the numerical sequences or the numerology coming through, then it's cabalistic, it's satanic, you know. Anything that repeats the numbers 3 or 6, it's not organic. It's not pure love and truth. It's not of the earth. The earth was third dimensional and had nothing like Satanism. It didn't have any of that. That was imposed on it. And so when things are channeled in and they are of this fourth dimensional cabalistic material, then I'm very, very, very conscious that that's something that I'm careful with. So I'm not going to say the Urantia book's right or wrong. I'll say it contains truths. But I'm somewhat wary of the objective of it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Eddie says, hi, Simon. Thank you so much for everything. What is the status of Fairex barter system? It seems that the banking system just keeps on going. I'm hoping for a fair alternative soon.
Yes, aren't we all? The banking system only suits those who created it in the first place. The banking system keeps going because a few small people are working overtime to maintain the system because they don't have another system. If I talk about the 1929 Wall Street crash, that was an artificial crash designed by them so they could strip companies, make a lot of money, and so it goes on through history. Most of these crashes have been artificially created so that a small group of people can clean up afterwards. The difficulty for these guys is that this potential crash, which they've put off and put off, was not of their doing. That is why there isn't a crash at the moment, because they know it's not one they're controlling. So they couldn't clean up. They couldn't make a huge amount of profit out of it. They don't want it to crash because they won't make a killing financially on that. And also, because they don't control it, that crash, they don't have a fallback position. And if they don't have a fallback position, they realize that the world that they have created, the world that they inhabit, could disappear not overnight, but relatively quickly. So they've done everything they can. Now, the question on Fairex was a difficult one. Not difficult because I find it difficult to answer, but difficult because it's a great shame. I'm sure many of you know I worked very closely with Wynne Keach, and we'd been on the Fairex program for 3 years. And it became very obvious that Wynne wasn't capable of bringing in a serious funder. Yes, people had donated for Fairex here, there, and, you know, everywhere, but there was very small amounts of money and would never launch the project. And after nearly 3 years, Wynne hadn't brought in a single serious funder. So I thought, okay, it is his project, but I can't stand by any longer. I will go out and find a spiritual businessman who is prepared to, you know, get behind this and make this work, because we owe it to the planet. We've got to do this. And I did. I found a spiritual businessman, and I said, look, it's not my project, but, you know, I'll act as the middleman and put you in touch with Wynne. And this businessman paid for Wynne to fly out. He lived abroad in another country, and he paid him to fly out twice and had a series of meetings. And there were three technologies that Wynne and I had been interested in. There were WINS technologies, but he had shared them with me, and I very much understood them, how they worked. And this businessman offered to buy these three technologies and then distribute them to the world, which is what I wanted. And I'm sure that's what WINS wanted. And that's, for me, was what we needed. So an amount of money changed hands. The spiritual businessman gave it to WINS. Unfortunately, the situation occurred that the spiritual businessman felt that he had been cheated, that he didn't receive what he paid for, and went to the Supreme Court in his country to get a judgment on it. And where we are at the moment is simply that, you know, these FairX won't take off because the spiritual businessman isn't prepared to work with the projects because he feels that he hasn't got what he paid for. Now, I've not been party to that. This is not my project. I'm party to it in the sense that I introduced the businessman to WINS, and I have had a conversation with the businessman, obviously, but I've not felt that the businessman was at fault. And so as a result of that, I haven't spoken to WINS now for maybe 5 months, 6 months. And it's desperately, desperately sad, because we need a form of barter trade that is not part of the Babylon control system. We need an alternative. Now, maybe it'll go down the road of crypto. But we can't use a cryptocurrency for barter trade if it's controlled by the same people that control the money. And if you've noticed, a number of the elite, like Musk and others, have moved into, and I talk about mining, I'm talking about the coin mining, data mining, the control of it. And so what we have are those elite people who have played the money game now moving to control the cryptocurrency game. And you'll see they'll regulate it and regulate it and regulate it. And in the end, they will be the ones to want to control it. So it's not actually the system that matters, whether you call it barter trade or FairX or cryptocurrency or pounds or dollars. That's meaningless. It's who is the top person controlling it. Because if it's the same person, you could be using eggshells. It doesn't matter if that's what you're using and that's the same person, you've got the same problem. So it's about a completely different change of mindset and controllers. Well, that is part of evolution. It's part of the ascension. It's part of humanity throwing off its chains. You know, the financial system is the greatest inhibitor of human consciousness. Not for no reason did people like my mother, who worked for MI5, not for any reason did she say money was the root of all evil, meaning that it went straight back to Babylon and to Molech and all the other control systems. So, yeah, it's terribly sad and terribly disappointed. I wanted this to go ahead, absolutely wanted it, made no money out of it, wasn't in it for the money, was in it to actually push it out, get it out to the world. And this spiritual businessman and WINS didn't come to an arrangement. And as a result of that, it's going nowhere. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Maya or Maya asks, do you have a sense or new info as to when public disclosure about off-planet beings might happen? If so, how might humans be exposed to this knowledge, and how many off-planet races will be revealed? Just one or many?
Right, thank you. it's nice to get that topic back because we haven't discussed that for a while and things have changed and moved. There have been numerous occasions where off-planet entities have, positive entities have said to a few governments here, you know, you've got to come forward and you've got to tell the truth. And each time these governments have said, yes, yes, we will, we promise to. And then they've come back and said, well, it wasn't okay, you know, this happened and that happened, and, you know, we've gone for a holiday and this, that, and the other. This group now of entities have come to the point where they've actually given an ultimatum to a number of individuals and basically said, if you don't do it, we will. Now, the election of President Trump has actually made it somewhat easier. President Trump could come out tomorrow and talk about disclosure, but what that would do would be to not just take the spotlight off paedophilia, it would ruin it, simply because that would be the big topic, that would be the law, everything would be on that. I think we have to clean up the evil, satanic influence on this planet, and then I think it'd be the right time to have a disclosure. If you were a benign alien, would you really want to come here and meet people if you knew they were still satanically controlled? You know, how fake is this to arrive at a government, talk to the government, and know that there's a world apart between the people you've met in this room and the millions and millions and millions of the citizens or the subjects, and that the discussions you're having are totally in secret. And if you were then to make them go public, those citizens have not had any chance to accept or understand or be gently moved towards it. And so beneficial aliens have always wanted the indigenous government to actually, over a period of time, make an announcement and officially move the populace towards that understanding in a supportive and structured way. Now, that's not happened. All they've done is do loads and loads of sci-fi films on YouTube, drip, 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 disclosure here and there, and then the usual attack it, mock it. The only way we're going to get it is when a president or somebody like that makes a big announcement and enough of the bad people have been told to shut up so that the truth can get out there. Will it be in our lifetime? Absolutely, yes, it will. It's just round the corner. But there are other priorities that have to be dealt with first. Okay.
Okay, thanks. I've just skipped the next three questions because one was very, very similar about Wynn's trade barter system. Just okay. Asking the
same thing. Tell you what you can do then.
One was on the sanction.
I'll tell you what you can do. These are similar questions. And
I've moved to a good one, a new question.
I understand that. But what I would like you to do is just read out the names of those people, because otherwise they're all going to feel cheated. Who are they?
Okay, sure. Let me just go back.
Okay. Because they didn't know that someone else's question would come in before theirs.
Gerd has asked about the...
That's okay, just the names. So okay, Gerd is one.
Gerd.
Yeah.
Elijah,
okay.
Again, similar question. And Claudia or Claudia
okay.
has asked about
fine.
The...
all right, well, so I'm afraid... System. Thank you. I'm afraid that someone else pipped you to it. but if you want to come back with other questions, maybe you might be lucky. Thank you, Becky.
Okay.
Thank
you. So moving on to Ellen, who's asked a question to do with Defence of the Dark Arts and psychic protection.
Okay.
Is it at all possible to be invisible to the forces, energies, or entities that rule our lives? I have often felt that I was lucky in the sense that I am a so-called nobody, and yet I feel like a master of some kind who is here to do something of value, and that my coat of unimportance is my protection.
Okay. Don't really use the word master in terms of... it's a magic name. If you say a bit of an ascended angel, I'm quite happy with that one. I think the issue we've got is that... the difficulty of the control system is such. What was the person's name again?
Ellen.
Right, okay. Were there two questions or one question in that?
Is it at all possible to be invisible to the forces,
right.
energies, or entities?
Okay, so, right, often somebody will say to me, you know, I keep my head down, I'm invisible from the agencies, or I'm invisible from this. There's a way of being off-grid which makes you sort of not detectable. But there's another, which is much more interesting, which is the capability of raising your vibration and frequency so that the control mechanisms of the fourth dimension can't actually hook on to you. So there's the physical, I'm invisible, semi-invisible to the establishment. they can never be 100%. But there's the other one where you can spiritually evolve and psychically evolve so that the satanically operated fourth dimensional traps or observational devices, shall we say, fail to detect you or they begin to malfunction. So that is a much more interesting way. And as those humans on the planet begin to start pushing out of the third dimension, then the systems that have been put in place to track them or trace them will increasingly fail. If you're here to do some good, then you've got to make sure that you're protected one way or the other, because as soon as you step out onto the freeway, some bad guy will try and knock you down. So you have to make sure you've got protection. It might be 3D protection, like President Trump. He has his generals absolutely protecting him with the military. Or we could have somebody being protected from off-planet, or we could have somebody who has raised their vibration to such an extent that they're immune to most of what goes on. So before anybody does anything, then please make a method to protect yourself. Thank you.
Okay, she just finishes off by asking, what might I have to offer in this context? According to my horoscope, I could have become famous, they say.
Okay, well, I mean, Picasso was famous. Can't really hold a painting up to protect ourselves. So what is fame? What is fame? Fame is your name in lights living on. The people that built the Great Pyramid, they could be famous, but we don't know who they are. Only you know what you are capable of. Only you know what you should be doing. Hopefully you know or have an idea why you came here. It's not for others to say what you should or shouldn't do. It's for you to say, this is what I want to do. It's for others to help you, maybe, to realize your potential. Sometimes it's a physical method that needs to be, a barrier that needs to be removed or something like that. Sometimes it's coaching skills or mentoring skills. But ultimately, every individual on the planet, he or she must choose what they want to do and then set upon a course how to do that. Thank you.
Okay, the hour's nearly up. Did you want to
going to go on and do a bit more.
Oh, okay. Carlos asks, dear Simon, thanks for all your services and dedication. In one of your latest radio shows, you announced that for the first days of March, a kind of pulse was going to hit the Earth, affecting AI, and then a wave of energy coming from the sun was going to affect the Earth, increasing the vibration of the Earth. Mm. What happened? I have not heard about this topic since you have announced it.
Okay. Well, first of all, we won't hear about it from our shareholding TV stations and radio stations. The only time you hear about it is when something gets struck by lightning or a pulse of energy knocks out a transmitter. People can't watch their favourite football programme. There was energy, but it was not at the strength that I'd predicted. Many people have predicted this energy band, but it is not at the strength that I hoped for, which means that we're obviously in for something else a lot heavier. I did certainly a communication around with people, and some people did detect a difference. Some people detected absolutely nothing. But enough people at the roundabout the same time did tell me that they felt something, but it wasn't the great earth-shattering movement that I'd hoped for. So I was disappointed in that. Why, I don't know. But what I do know is that there are more to come. Whether that was I'd misread it and it was always going to be at that level, or maybe the consciousness much higher than mine decided that it wasn't the right time and that what had been planned for had to be moved back. Whatever the case, there was a bath of energy. It was not enough to take out the systems. We will know it because internet will go down, cell phones will go down for a period of time, not for days or weeks. But there will be a very obvious effect. That didn't happen, and I know that the energy wasn't at that level. I want this energy to come through because I see it as part of kickstarting the human race from one level to the next. Good question, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Tim asks, what does the world look like after a global currency reset? Who will need the most help and how can we help each other?
Well, people in India, you'd think the poor starving people with very little would need the most help. Actually, they won't, simply because they have managed to get by on barter trade anyway. Large numbers of people in developing worlds who don't have access to banks, don't have bank accounts, because the banks aren't interested in people who earn just a few pennies a week. They don't care about them. So they had to survive, and they just do what they did in the medieval times or the primitive times. They barter and trade. It doesn't mean I'll give you a loaf of bread for a chicken. It might be I'll till your land, or I'll do this, I'll look after your old sick mother, or I'll do this, etc., etc. So in a currency reset, actually to them, it won't be a huge difference. The difference will be in the automated, technical, mechanized Western world, which runs everything from the ability to access money. You know, it's been a number of years now where you daren't step out of your door confidently unless you've got money. You daren't. And that's the way, you know, even if you're going for a stroll in the park, you better take some money in case, you know, the kid sees an ice cream or a hamburger, and you can't go out without money. The control system is huge, and the only way it's going to be replaced is with a westernized reset. That might be an eastern reset, because you might have China, Russia, etc., having one type of reset, the West having another. With President Trump, it's all out the window. We really don't know now. I understand that the US has managed to claw back enough gold to potentially launch a currency. Do you remember a few years back, the only metal they had in any sizable amount was silver? Well, Trump and the generals have been working overtime to maybe make a combination of gold and silver. But that isn't a barter trade system. That's a reset. That's an economic reset away from the Fed, away from that type of profiteering. That's not what the question is asking. The real question is asking about a break from that system. I've always felt that humanity had to transition gently from a Kabbalistic, satanic-controlled money to a true barter trade system. I don't think you could go to bed Sunday night and then Monday morning wake up and do it. It has to be gradual. And maybe cryptocurrency, maybe a decent form of intermediary exchange is what we have to do. But it's about breaking the satanic control over it. It's a very good question. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to read out my list of people who've been so kind to send me whatever they could. And then I'll take a couple more questions after that, then we'll wrap it up. So I've got my list of people who've been so kind. Isabel, Bernard, Cheryl, AJ, Max, Sheena, Nathan, Sylvia, H, W, D, Maria, Kelly, Olaf, Keeley, Alexandra, Eleanor, Thomas, David, Mr. Gorilla, Margaret, Jana, Adele, Juan, Lars, Rhoda, Frank, Lionel, Oliver, Raphael, Jeff, Terry, Oliver, Edelina, I think, Brian, Darius, I hope I've got your name right, Darius, Stefano, Megan, Stephen or Stefan, Elizabeth or Elizabetha, Poma, Rudolph, Gary, Richie, Candice, and John. To all of you who've been so kind and been able to send me whatever you could, thank you very much. It keeps me on air, doesn't it? Keeps me going, keeps me posting, keeps me doing what I do. And thank you so much for your help. I do appreciate that. Okay, two more questions maybe, and then we'll call it a day, because the cat over there is going to want to be fed soon.
Okay. Lillimore asks, a part of Cairo is called Old Babylon. So what came first, Osiris, Isis, or the Anunnaki?
Right, a really good question. These names have been given to us in a historical context. If you take a deck of cards, a first thing that a child might do once it's learned to count is put them in order. The ace, the one, the deuce, the two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. And that's how we understand time, because that's how we've been taught it. But we were talking earlier about how time is a figure of eight or an elliptical. If I take those cards and say, okay, that's one way to order them, and I shuffle the cards up and I put five next to three and then three next to nine, and say, actually, that's just as good order. Of course, to a 3D controlled mind, that's nonsense. You might get a good code breaker out of that child by the end of it, but they wouldn't understand that. They wouldn't see it as the system. And so we can't just take a word. We can't say Molech or Babylon and assume that it falls into a time order. Satanic energy comes from the fourth dimension. And it means that it moves within a... The fourth dimension is a different set of time than we understand it. And all it's had to do is to choose the elements it's wanted from the fourth and impose them on the third. And because the third is linear, it's very easy to say that's on top of that, which is on top of that, on top of that. In the higher dimensions, that concept doesn't work, because you could come back and find yourself. Einstein's wife, who was the real brains behind it all, of course, it wasn't Einstein, but you couldn't have a woman having all the accolades. Einstein's wife, who assisted Einstein in a lot of his work, I can't remember if it was relativity or the special relativity. It might have just been relativity. Talked about the concept you stand on a station and a train comes in around about the speed of light. What position would a person on the platform see the person on the train as it went past? And if a person was on the platform, what position would a number of people on the train actually view? Would they view that person at the same place on the platform? In a 3D world, when you come in on a train, that person stands, let's say, at gate 4, and everybody looks out the window, they will all see that person standing at gate 4. But if you were to come in at the speed of light, and light is very important because it's gravity and it's time, if you came in at the speed of light or higher, and everyone in the different compartments or coaches looked out the window, would they actually see that person standing at gate 4? So there's a point here about manipulation. It is easier to manipulate the third dimension and the human race than it is any other race or time zone, because of our wedded belief in layered time, progressive time, A to Z, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. And so when you get a name, it doesn't mean because the history book said that Egypt was this period and Mesopotamia was that period and Sumeria was that period. Names have been going for hundreds of thousands of years. Those fake gods or gods have been going a very long time. So it's a very, very interesting question. No one's asked me that before. You just have to ask yourself which feels right here. Thank you. I'll do one more question and then it's time to feed the animals.
Okay, this question is actually the 100th question that's come in.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant.
And it's by Kelvin, who says, "Dear Simon, what is the intent of the crisscrossing exhaust trails we all keep seeing in the skies over Britain? Is it a poison designed to come down with the rains and infect the population?"
No, that was chemtrails generally. Well, not all of them, but many of them were filled with a bacteria, some of the viruses, but the bacteria was their chosen one, and they would put them in a type of a gel so that the bacteria had a chance to live when it reached the earth. The crisscrossing is very different, and more people are seeing this crisscrossing, and that's simply because they've moved, they started last year in earnest, moved to the crisscrossing, and this is more to do with entrapment of energies than it is to dispersal of chemicals. And we think about the Orion cube, the Orion box. We think about box-like shapes or circuit-type shapes. The crisscrossing is a mirroring of the crisscross energy web that exists as part of the entrapment system. So we know we're dealing with a very base human low technology understanding. The crisscrossing is designed for twofold. One is to maintain the control over humans, and I can go into this in more detail another time. It's also to do with the reflecting of the sun's rays. The sun has changed its frequency and is part and parcel of the evolution of humanity. This crisscrossing is a failed attempt at preventing that human evolution. So no, the crisscrossing is not any extra chemicals or poisons for the humanity. He's getting up now, he wants to be fed. But it is to do with the last desperate gasp of these very, very misguided people to try to hold the human race down. So listen, thank you ever so much. And that is wonderful that that was the 100th question. Now, if it had been the 66th question or the 660th question, I would have put another one in to break that satanic number. But as it's the 100th question, that's a really nice round number. No squares in that, nice zeros there. No doubt somebody will go and look on the numerology and give me a great tale of woe. But to me, 100 seems good. And if I could live to 100 years old, I'd be really happy with that. So listen, God bless to everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll just keep going, keep fighting, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care.